going to do a part of this because I want to talk to you about what you get off, what you do when you get off retreat. And one of the things that the Buddha said was abandon what is unwholesome and devote yourself to wholesome states. That is how you will come to growth, increase, and fulfillment in this Dhamma and discipline. Suppose there was a big salad tree grove near a village or town, and it was choked with castor oil weeds, and some man would appear desiring its good welfare and protection. He would cut down and throw out the crooked saplings that rob sap. He would clean up the interior of the grove and tend the straight, well-formed saplings, so that the salad tree grove later would come to growth, increase, and fulfillment. So to abandon what is unwholesome and develop yourselves to what is wholesome. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? For that is how you will come to growth, increase, and fulfillment in this Dhamma and disciplines. Now I'm going to go to the important stuff. There are these five courses of speech that others may use when they address you. Their speech may be timely or untimely, true or untrue, gentle or harsh, connected with good or with harm, spoken with a mind of loving kindness or with inner hate. When others address you, their speech may be timely or untimely. When others address you, their speech may be true or untrue. When others address you, their speech may be gentle or harsh. When others address you, their speech may be connected with good or with harm. When others address you, their speech may be spoken with a mind of loving kindness or with inner hate. You should train thus. Our minds will remain unaffected, and we shall utter no evil words. We shall abide compassionate for their welfare, with a mind of loving kindness without inner hate. We shall abide pervading that person with a mind imbued with loving kindness, and starting with him, we shall abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. That is how you should train. It doesn't matter what somebody else says. That's their opinion. That doesn't mean that it's true. And it doesn't matter if they're telling you a flat-out lie. That's still their opinion. So, if their mind is filled with loving kindness or with inner hate, that's still, you don't have to take it personally. Just speech. So you need to be able to see that somebody is talking to you, and that's when you start radiating loving kindness to them. And as soon as you radiate loving kindness to them and they go away, that's the reminder for you to start radiating loving kindness to all beings in all the directions. Now, this is with your daily activities. It takes practice. You have to do it a lot so that it turns into a habitual tendency. Not all habitual tendencies are bad. But when you trade an unwholesome tendency for a wholesome tendency, now you're doing it correctly. So, it's a good idea, and we have this on our website, that you make a copy of this and read it often. Remind yourself, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. It really doesn't. What matters is what are you doing with your mind. So, radiate loving kindness as much as you possibly can. When you're walking down from your house to your car, what are you thinking about? Yeah, some of this and some of that. I like this and I don't like that. Well, those are what one of my teachers said was rubbish thoughts. They're nonsense thoughts. Try letting go of that and use your walk from your door to your car as the reminder to radiate loving kindness. Or from your car to your job. Now, when you practice at home, your practice is not going to be as deep as it is here. So don't look for it to be as deep. You're going to be more active. You're going to be talking to other people and doing all kinds of things. One of the things that I recommend very highly is putting a mirror on the back of your cell phone. And when you're talking, see if you're smiling or not. Put a mirror on your desk when you're talking to someone else, or occasionally look at your face and see whether you got that smile on your face or not. As you focus on loving kindness more and more, everything becomes easier. Everything becomes fun. And it's pretty amazing to watch. I was telling somebody that that's what I did when I had my own job, when I had my own company. I'd sit right by the phone. I had a mirror. And as soon as the phone rang, I started looking at the mirror and started smiling. And then I'd pick up the phone. And they can feel that through the phone. So you radiate loving kindness when you're smiling, right? It's surprising how much more successful you become with your job when you smile more. Oh, but they think I'm going to be crazy. Somebody sees me smiling, they'll think I'm really gone bonkers. No, they don't. And that was the reason in Indonesia that they didn't want to smile when they went out and did things. And I said, when somebody smiles at you, do you think they're crazy? Or do you smile back? Well, I always smile back. Oh, then that's not an excuse, right? Life is supposed to be fun. Every time you get serious, you're taking problems that are just little bumps in the road and you're turning it into a huge mountain in front of you. And all of your problems are really difficult to overcome. When you're smiling and you're happy, a little bump in the road is a little bump in the road. They're going to happen. Welcome to real life. But when you start making it into a major problem, that's the cause of suffering. So, what can you do? You have to make up your mind that you're going to try smiling more and be more happy and having fun with people. Instead of laughing at them, you laugh with them. Some of you on this retreat, your laughs have changed. And I really like that. You come into the interview room and I'll say something and you start laughing and I go, yeah, this is it. Why did you start laughing? All I said was, hello. Make it fun. Worrying about something doesn't work. I think we can all agree on that. You make yourself suffer more and more the more you worry about this problem. And you make yourself sad. You make yourself frustrated. And you can't blame anybody else for your suffering. Your suffering is yours. Yeah, but they said something I don't like. Oh, you took it personally? Why would you want to do that? But it wasn't very nice what they said. So what? I can still be happy, can I? If somebody is angry at you, don't take their anger and make it yours. Okay? It's not your anger, it's their anger. Well, you don't have to get mad back at them. You make a choice. If you start radiating loving kindness to that person that is throwing anger at you, they will stop before long. Now, you've heard me say, I want you to smile all the time. Smiling and at somebody that's angry at you, smiling with your lips doesn't work so good. But you can smile in your mind. You can smile in your heart and radiate that to them. Then they'll settle down and you can start talking to them, because it takes two to fight. So if there's only one fighting, it kind of loses its energy. Just radiate loving kindness to them. You don't have to tell them what you're doing. I used to go to a hospital in one of the bigger ones in Kuala Lumpur, because I would be invited there because one of the family members is going through some kind of trauma or something physically. Now, what I did before I walked into the room is I was walking up the hall to their room.
much radiation right now.
Anyway, as I was walking up the hallway, what I would do would be to start radiating loving kindness to everybody around me. I didn't care. I didn't care what they were doing or even how much they were suffering. A good definition of compassion is seeing someone else in pain. Let them have their pain and love them without any conditions. Quite often I'd walk into the room and family members would be there and they'd open up a window or close a window or adjust a pillow or adjust their blanket a little bit. They didn't know what to do. And they were feeling helpless. I never walked in feeling helpless. I knew that what I was doing was helping that person. Even if they were crying out in pain. I didn't try to, oh, don't do that. You poor dear, I feel so sorry for you. Does that make them feel better? How does that make you feel? So when I walked in, I would start radiating loving kindness to everybody in the room. And the person that was suffering, that was crying out in pain, would calm down on their own. And before long, their mind came up to my mind. And they started to have balance in their mind because I kept radiating loving kindness to them. I would generally say something that would make them laugh. And when they laughed, they didn't have as much pain. And when I walk in the room, quite often, the person that was suffering the most, they would, after a while, say, you know, it's just like fresh air came in the room when you walked in. You are never in a hopeless situation. Never. You practice your loving kindness meditation and radiate loving kindness into the situation. You are helping everybody around you. Now, Malaysia is a third Malaysians, which means Muslim, and a third Hindu, Indian, and a third Chinese. And the Muslims don't really like Buddhists very much. I guess they're intimidated by them. I'm not real sure why that is. But I had gone out on alms round and they would spit in my bowl and things like that. They really weren't very nice. But when I would go to the hospital, they would ask me to come over to their bed. Why? Because they felt good when they were beside me. Why? Because I love them. I don't care what their politics are. I don't care who they're praying to. They're a human being, and every human being wants to be loved. So it's a real amazing thing to see how people's minds start to have that balance and they start smiling a little bit and we like to giggle and laugh with them and have fun. There was one man that he had a major growth over his carotid artery and it was a very serious operation. And he told me about it. He was a school teacher. And he told me about it. And then what I did was he went into the hospital at night, going to have an operation the next morning. I got his family together, and we started sending loving kindness to each other. And then started sending loving kindness to the person that...
Let's get him away.
Is that better? Okay. Then we started sending loving kindness to the doctors that were going to be operating on him, and the loving kindness to the nurses that were going to be helping. And instead of them being caught up in fear and worry, they're sending loving kindness to all these different people. They felt like they were helping them, and they were. You never have to feel helpless. Just start radiating loving kindness. It doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. This sutta has another little bit that I wanted to read. If you keep this advice on the simile of the saw constantly in mind, do you see any course of speech, trivial or gross, that you could not endure? I don't know what to do to make it any better. Well,
it is supposed to be clipped somewhere else.
Well, can we put it in my lap? Would that do it? We'll see. Therefore, you should keep this advice on the simile of the saw constantly in mind. They called this the simile of the saw because in the paragraph right above it, it says, even if bandits were to sever you savagely, limb by limb with a two-handed saw, he who gave rise to a mind of hatred towards them would not be carrying out my teachings. That's pretty radical. Mm-hmm. But what does that do to your mind, even though your body is getting torn apart? If you're focusing on loving kindness, you don't have time for hatred. You don't have time for dissatisfaction. And even the pain becomes less because you're not tightening. You're not stopping the endorphins from going through your body. So the next day, the operation was supposed to last for 6 hours. So the next day I got up. When I knew he was starting to have the operation begin, I started radiating loving kindness to him and to the doctors and the nurses and the family. And after about 6 hours, I didn't have any word from him. So I just kept doing it. And after 8 hours, I didn't have any word from him, and I'm starting to think, well, there might have been some kind of complication. The doctor was so careful with this that it wound up taking him 13 hours. And the next day, as soon as he got out of the operation, they put him on complete life support. And the next day he was on complete life support. And the day after that, the family came and took me to the hospital to visit him. They'd taken him off all the machines. Everything was going along fairly well. And he was in a room that was probably twice as large as this, with rows of beds. A lot of people in that room. And I went to see him, and I sat down beside him, and I said, "How you doing?" He was awake. Well, he could talk a little bit, but he was coughing a lot, and he was really sick. I mean, he was not moving around at all. So I held his hand and started radiating loving kindness. After about an hour, all of a sudden he's starting to sit up in bed more, and he's not coughing so much, and I watched him get stronger. So by the time I left, he was sitting up in bed. He tilted it up, so he was sitting up pretty straight, and he had a real gleam in his eye. So I told him, "Okay, I'll see you later." And I started walking out of the room, and a Muslim man called me over. And he said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Yes." So I held his hand and I started radiating loving kindness. And he started getting stronger. He started feeling better. And I said, "Okay, I've got to go. I have these people that want to take me back to the monastery." Well, it took almost 4 hours to get out of that room because so many people wanted me to go stand beside them and radiate loving kindness. This is how powerful loving kindness can be. It's not me. It's me focusing on loving kindness and allowing it to do whatever it's going to do. And the family, they were kind of giggling and laughing on the way home. "Do you see how strong Dad was?" After 3 days, he went home. And he was able to walk around and do other things. But his voice was affected by the operation and he could barely speak. Now, he was a Chinese school teacher, which means they teach at the top of their lungs, and he wasn't able to do that. So he said, "What should I do?" I said, "Just start sending loving kindness to everybody in the hospital. Send loving kindness to everybody in your family." And he would get up in the morning around 8 o'clock, and then he would start doing a walking meditation. And he would stay with the loving kindness. And a couple days later, he calls me up on the phone. And there's nothing wrong with his voice. He said, "I was sending loving kindness to everybody in my family. And all of a sudden, I had this big thing come out of his throat, and he spit it out, and right after that his voice came back." So use loving kindness when you think it's appropriate. Use it often. Develop the habit of having that radiating, loving feeling in your mind. No judgments. just radiate it to everybody. You want to affect the world around you in a positive way? You're going to get that by reading the newspaper and watching TV with all the violence and stuff? Or sit and meditate and radiate loving kindness to all beings in all the directions. Keep it going. While you're walking around. Now what I recommend for you is to sit in the morning. Okay? And I always get the classic question that people shouldn't ask me these kind of questions. How long should I sit? Well, okay, start at 8 hours and continue on to the rest of the day. If you have the time, it's good to sit for 2 hours. If you don't have the same time, then cut it out by about 30 minutes. Sit in an hour and a half. And if you don't have the time, sit for an hour, but no less than an hour. Make the determination that when you go to sleep at night, you're going to wake up smiling and happy. And when you do that, keep your smiling going. Use things in your house. Every time you have to open up a door, let that be a reminder for you to radiate some loving kindness and smile. Watch what your mind is doing with your daily activities. Let go in 6R. I've given you the tools. The loving kindness is a good tool and it is a protection. It stops from bad things happening. Also, use the 6 R's. When you see your mind starting to get tight and tense and you start worrying or you have anxiety or fear or whatever it is, then 6 R, start wishing some loving kindness to yourself. Now, loving kindness can be used in a lot of different ways. Okay? I have a wood-burning stove in my cabin, and it gets plenty hot. You can verify that.
The colder it is, the hotter it gets.
Yeah, you bet. And sometimes something will happen, and I'll touch some of the metal or whatever, and it's a burn. And as soon as I have a burn, I start sending loving kindness into that. And I forgive it for causing that problem. In 2 or 3 days, there's not even a mark on my hand. And I like to experiment, see what happens if I don't do it. Well, I have a blister that lasts for about 10 days before it goes away. My choice. Anytime you have any physical pain, physical upset, that's the time to send loving kindness into that area. Now, you might have heard this from other YouTubes, but I like to walk barefoot in the forest at one time. And it's not a good idea to walk barefoot in the forest in the dark. You have a tendency to kick rocks and logs and things like that, And I was continually breaking toes. You know what happens when you go to the doctor with a broken toe? He gives you a little bow to put on your toe to remind you don't do that again for a while. There's nothing they can do to make it better. It has to heal on its own. So when I would get up and start walking around, I limped for a little while, but I instead of disliking that pain and tightening my mind around that pain, I relaxed into it and I sent loving kindness into that toe. Sometimes walking up steps was very difficult because there was a lot of pain. But by the second or third day, it's like there was a little bit of sensation in the toe, but it didn't bother me anymore. And by the fourth or fifth day, I'd forgotten that I'd broken my toe. You want to heal fast? Send loving kindness into the thing that causes you pain. I don't care if it's another person or something that's happening in your body. When I was in Indonesia, the first day I got there, all of a sudden I couldn't eat any food. It was making my stomach really queasy. And I started feeling pain. And I started thinking, I think I have appendicitis. So I went to the hospital and they did an MRI at night. And the next morning they did an operation. But before they even did the MRI, the doctor came and he said, you know, this can be really serious. Sometimes it's really hard to take the appendix out. And I said, okay. And the doctor, he was not expecting that kind of response. And he said, aren't you worried about it? I said, no, not really. Well, I said, are you a good doctor? Being in Indonesia, that's a real good question. And he said, yes, I've done hundreds and hundreds of operations on the appendix. I said, then I don't have anything to worry about. You do. You better do a good job because a lot of people will be angry at you if you don't. And he thought that was a very peculiar response. Well, why am I going to worry about it? I'm going to be asleep. So they did the operation and he comes in that after the operation is done, do you have any pain? A little bit, not any big deal. And then he showed me the picture that they took of my appendix, so I sent it to David. But I had three little marks on me. And I was sending loving kindness in there and sleeping sometimes. And the day after the operation, the doctor comes in and he said, do you want to go home or do you want to stay another day? He said, go home. Well, you know, you have this chance of getting us infected and you've got to take, and he's giving me all this worry stuff. I said, no problem, I can take care of it. You don't worry about anything. No, why? Why should I? It's no big deal. You took care of it, right? Yeah. Well, after 4 or 5 days, all of the scabs had disappeared. Just completely healed. No more pain. Actually, I started having a lot more energy. After a fairly major thing, Why was it so easy? Because I didn't worry about it. I didn't put dislike in the situation. I put loving kindness in the situation. As I was laying in the operating room, a doctor comes up and he's got his mask on and he's giving these orders. So I started radiating loving kindness to him. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm wishing you well." "Well, you should be wishing yourself well. You're going to have an operation." I don't worry about little things like that. Then after the operation, when he came in to see if I was okay, he said, "I understand you teach meditation. Can you teach me some meditation?" I said, "Well, right now, let's wait a couple of days." And he was a Muslim. Real interesting, huh? But you put loving kindness into the things that cause you pain. I don't care if it's mental pain or physical pain. You stub your toe, what happens to you? What kind of thoughts do you have? Grr. I hate that. Oh man, I wish it would stop. And you hop around. Now what's happening when you have that much dissatisfaction in your mind? You're closing down the blood vessels that go to the pineal gland where the endorphins are. The endorphins are the painkiller. About 10 times stronger than morphine. So you put your loving kindness into that instead. You see that your mind, ow, that there's pain. And then what I would do would be go, okay, let's send some love to that. That pain is telling me right then and there, that's what it needs. It needs to be loved. And before long, walking around and you forget about it. And then you look down and you see this big bruise on your toe and you go, what in the world? How did that happen? Oh, that's right. I stubbed my toe. So, this stuff works. I'm telling you firsthand, this stuff works. You don't have to feel helpless ever. When you use loving kindness and put it into your mind, or into your body. And you have to have some patience because it doesn't always work on your time frame. But you keep doing it and you will feel relief. And you're practicing the Eightfold Path at that time. So the more you can remember with your daily activities, the more you can have that balance of mind that loving kindness gives you, the less you identify with the pains and anxieties and fears or whatever it is that happens to arise. So, what's the practice? You need the 6R. And then focus on loving kindness in your different places in your body when you don't feel good. And watch the miracles occur. Because there really are miracles. Letting go of fear, letting go of anxiety, and replacing it with loving kindness That's a miracle. It's a real miracle. Sometimes people would ask me to go visit somebody in the hospital that was in a coma. And almost everybody thinks if somebody's in a coma that they're not there, they're not present. And they are. If you calm your mind down and put it on their forehead and radiate loving kindness to them, and your mind becomes more peaceful and calm, you'll be able to communicate with them in simple terms. Is there anything I can do to help you? Do you want some water? Do you need more painkiller? Or whatever. You'll get an answer. There was one lady that was in the hospital. She'd been there for a long time. She was actually a nurse. And she had some ulcers. And they were trying to put a tube down her throat into her stomach so they could feed her. And they put it in her lung instead. She couldn't do much of anything. And I went to see her and I put my hand on her forehead. Can I help you with anything? I really want to see my son. So, okay. I'll arrange it. And I said, you know, you can communicate with your son, but you have to have patience and calm your mind and radiate loving kindness to him. His son was about 3 years old or so. She still had a very strong connection, psychic connection with her son. So he came into the room and he saw his mom and he was kind of freaked out by it. And I talked with him for a little while and got him happy. And I said, you know, if you put your hand on your mom, she'll be able to communicate with you. So he did. And he got this, his eyes all of a sudden got really big. And he was able to communicate, and she said, don't be afraid when you see me like this. And what mothers say, I love you, all of those kind of things. So when you calm your mind down, you don't look at this is a major problem that she has, oh, the poor dear, and you start radiating loving kindness, you can communicate in all different kinds of ways that bring them relief. I can't say that I healed her. She didn't get up and walk out of the hospital or anything, but I healed her. Why? Because I was able to find out what she really needed and what she really wanted. And she was able to give her love to her son. So you get to see all kinds of miracles the more you focus on loving kindness. It's not a maybe. And some of the miracles, you see somebody arguing on the street, just stay away from them. Just stop and start radiating some loving kindness to these beings that are upset, that are taking everything personally, and they're in their dislike and dissatisfaction. As you radiate that loving kindness, their minds will settle down, and then they'll be able to actually communicate. They're not going to be talking at the same time. They're not going to be yelling at each other. Their minds will benefit, and that's a miracle. So the more you can remember to continue doing the loving kindness all the time in your daily lives, and start to get confidence that this stuff really does work, the more you'll start using it, and just, it'll blow your mind. Everybody around you starts going, I feel a lot more comfortable around you. So keep it with you all the time. One of the books that I've written is Life is Meditation. Meditation is life. And what I'm trying to get across by that is meditation is not just about sitting. Meditation is all the time. What are you doing with your mind? 6R, radiate some loving kindness around. You want other people to be happy? Wish it for them. Radiate it to them. I was building a very, very fancy house for somebody. They were the CEO of a bank in Chinatown in San Francisco. Every time I went to see him, if he wanted changes and that sort of thing, I had to figure out what I had to do to make him happy. Before I would go in, I would go into the bathroom and look at my face and start smiling. And I would radiate loving kindness to him. I would radiate loving kindness to myself. I radiated loving kindness to the situation. Every time I went in, he was so agreeable. And most of the time I was going in with bad news for his wallet. You know, you want this changed? Yes, I can do that. It's only going to cost you another $40,000. But he would say, okay, fine, I don't care, I want it that way. Okay. But the times I didn't have time to go in and radiate loving kindness, I did it for 5 minutes to myself. And I know it was 5 minutes because I took my watch off and I put it on the mirror, so I knew it was 5 minutes. 5 minutes of smiling and radiating loving kindness is a lot harder than you think. If you don't have the watch there, you do it for about 30 seconds and say, yeah, that's 5 minutes. But the times that I didn't have enough time to do that and I went in, our meetings were not very nice. They'd be grumpy in one way or another. And then I had to convince him that if he wanted that, this change or that change, that it was going to take a lot of effort and it's going to cost more money. Chinese don't like to spend money. But when I smiled to them and smiled with them and radiated loving kindness while I was in the meeting with them, everybody was happy. So use it. This is a part of life. And it gets to be real fun watching how people can change to have an uplifted mind. And other people, complete strangers, will walk by you and you're thinking about this or that. You're going to get caught by it. And that's okay. And they'll start smiling to you for no reason. And you go, thanks for reminding me. So other people are going to help you as much as you help them. keeping it going as much as you can remember. And you can't criticize yourself when you forget. Criticism of yourself is unwholesome. Then you start having all kinds of problems. You forget, forgive yourself, start again. This is a play it again, Sam. And have fun with it. Now, if you live in this area, and you feel comfortable, get in touch with people around you that already know this meditation and practice together. And when you get done practicing, break out some tea and cookies and sit around and talk about your experience. Have fun. Develop your Sangha as much as you can. It's much more fun being around people that are meditators, that are agreeing with what you're doing. It's real fun being around them, because their minds are uplifted too. I don't know if I told this on a retreat, or this retreat, I've told it many times before, of going to a party in San Francisco, if I told you about that. Mm-hmm. That was really an amazing experience. Be with people that keep the precepts without breaking them. They're trustworthy. And you'll have fun being around them. So, now you know what to expect when you get off retreat, and you know what you need to do all the rest of the time. It is good to sit in the morning. If you want to do an online retreat, get in touch with David and he will arrange it. Online retreats are real helpful to keep things going. And what you basically do is the morning service here, you do that at home. Then sit for an hour. Then go to work. And you got to smile all day. When you get off and you have lunch, if you have a few minutes, sit down and meditate. Or walk and radiate loving kindness, whatever you want to do. When you get home in the evening, you need to write down, he's got a questionnaire that you have to fill out. What's your meditation doing today? And he'll write back and he gives great advice. Then we'll give you a YouTube to watch. And if you have time after that, sit more. And the retreats are 8 days? 7 days?
8 plus 1, kind of optional on your Sunday, but 9.
9, okay. So do that every day. And your progress is going to be, you won't believe how good things can get. And you can also, we have different people now that are going to be helping with the online retreats. So we'll be able to help more people at a time. So just let David know. Scott is a really brilliant man. And he can help with that. Mark Berger, he can help with that. So you're not going to feel alone. Anytime you want to sign up, we'll do our best to help you and keep your practice going. So you can still be going to work. You don't have to take another week off. You can do this while you're at work. That's the whole point of it. Because it doesn't matter what you're doing. You can still radiate loving kindness. Yeah, but I have to think. Can you smile? Think and smile at the same time. Oh, what a revolutionary idea. And when you forget, and you will, don't beat yourself up for it. Just start again. It takes practice to be able to do that. Be kind to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. You don't need to push yourself around and get angry because you forgot something. Never mind. Start again. Okay. So, your last chance for questions. Do you have a question? I can't see if your hand is up or not. Okay.
For exercises that demand complete attention.
Can you smile?
If I can't, does that mean I shouldn't be doing that exercise?
It means you need to practice doing that. In Indonesia, they don't get a whole lot of exercise. So we set up a yoga class in the morning. And they do gentle stretches. It's nothing strenuous at all. But my only requirement is that they smile with that. And people are saying, you know, I can stretch a lot better than I used to. Because they're not trying to accomplish anything. They're just being happy while they're doing it. So I hope that's a good enough answer for you. Okay. If you swim every day, smile. Have fun. Oh, but I've got to accomplish this. No, you don't. You can have fun in the water. Play with it. Anybody else? Last chance. Okay.
So if you're going to wake up earlier, can you look at meditating as a substitute for sleep? If I cut back an hour or two of sleep, is that okay?
Try and see. Don't make yourself tired. But can you carry it with you all day? I had a student in Kuala Lumpur. In Kuala Lumpur, if you go to school, they start at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to noon. And then the older classes, they start at noon and go to 6 o'clock in the evening. And the student decided that he was going to get up at 4 o'clock so he could sit and then still take his kids to school. And he was telling me what advantage it was. When he was going into work, he was an engineer. But he was saying people were coming up to him because he changed. And they'd say, "What are you doing different?" I want some of what you got. So he started teaching a loving kindness retreat or every Tuesday or whatever day it was. And they were coming, and they were coming back because they started feeling the changes in themselves. So, you can do that. Everybody can do that. Smile and be happy. The more you radiate loving kindness, the more miracles you're going to see. Okay?